You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca.
Kev, there's no shortage of stories in Vancouver. We all know it's a debacle, so we'll probably skip that to start. I do want to talk. Oiler fans are interested. Stuart Skinner comes back. He had a lengthy layoff to have the birth of his first son, Bo. And he came back and didn't look like he missed a beat. You had mentioned there's something about his game that you feel allows him to be able to be off for a long time and not miss a beat. What is it, and why is that, and how common is that amongst goalies?
Yeah, no, I think it's just the technical foundation. Like, it's, you know, we talked in the past about sort of sliding scales, guys that have their game rooted in technique and guys that play with a little more flow and a little more feel. And it's a sliding scale that varies for every goaltender. And clearly, you know, I think a guy like Jack Campbell, although he's working on, you know, sort of cleaning up some of the movement stuff, he's always going to be a goalie that plays with a little extra movement, a little more flow, a little more outside in, and therefore relies a little more on feel. And I just think Stewart's game, you know, it's a simpler technical game. And so if that's your foundation, you can find those elements in practice a little easier than you can a goalie that plays with a little more reliance on feel. And, like, listen, every goalie relies on timing and rhythm. It's just to different degrees. Every goalie's going to struggle after a long break to find pucks through traffic, 10 bodies flying around the zone, being able to make the right reads. And there is a feel element to that as well. But if your foundation is sort of simple technical movement, I just think it's easier for those guys more often than not to survive those breaks. And, you know, I look at the first minute of that game as a great example. The save on Mikheyev in tight. Like, bang, bang play down low, pretty high quality chance. And Skinner's just, he's there early, he's off his post, shifts into the middle, puck hits him. Like, I think he makes a lot of tough saves look easy because of that technical foundation. And because it's less reliant on extra moving parts all sort of syncing together, and those feel components, I think that's something that it's why I wasn't worried about him if he was going to be a backup this year. Amid a lot of talk about how much did you need to keep him playing, you know, if he had been going once a week, I don't think he suffers as much in that role because of that technical foundation. And I think we saw a pretty good example of it. Was it perfect? No. I talked to him after the game, talked about missing his post a few times, but, you know, missing your posts and maybe, you know, hitting it with your skate blade instead of the toe box of your pad, like, that's a miss you can recover from. Getting caught moving and being on the wrong, having your weight on the wrong foot as you back into your crease off a rush so that you then can't make a push quickly across on a pass, those are the kind you don't recover from. And so I think his margin for error is a lot bigger because he's less reliant on those elements.
So it's nice to see now that you know, Skinner has had a good year all year, and looks like Campbell's got himself back up to the level he thinks he needs to be at, or he wants to be at. So what'd be the best way to manage both goalies who both want the net moving forward for Jay Woodcroft and his coaching staff?
Yeah, this is going to be the tough one, Stretty, and I think what I just talked about you know, plays into it, especially because Jack's really played well. Like, you know, his numbers overall in the season still aren't great, but over these past six starts, like, he's digging out of the hole. We talked about this going into the year. Like, you know, I said what I said about, you know, where he ranked coming in and that contract, but he's still, his performance at the start of this year, and I think part of that is all those elements I talked about in terms of feel and rhythm and timing and trying to match them up to a new defense, learning their habits, learning their tendencies. You know, a slow start should have been expected. But he's better than he's shown so far, and he's starting to show that now. The balance is going to be how much do you play him? Because all those things I just talked about, they're less likely to click if you're sitting and only playing once a week or once every 10 days. And performance sort of dictated that early. But now that he's got rolling, I think it's important, and keeping in mind what I just said about Skinner maybe being less reliant on those elements, it's going to be important to find more regular minutes for Jack Campbell so he can continue to build on this. You know, he's a guy, too, that, you know, you can look at the way he plays and you can try and break down tape and see what's changed when he's going good versus when he's not. But at the end of the day, we saw this in Toronto, like, good Jack Campbell and not so good Jack Campbell, the way he moved around the crease wasn't dramatically different. And so it was hard to find sort of technical cues that could be fixed. It really is not about confidence and feel. And he's got that. So you're going to need to make sure you find enough starts for him to maintain it. And if he stubs his toe once, you know, you don't sit him for 10 days because I think that increases the likelihood of him starting to go the other way again. I think finding him consistent minutes here is going to be important to keeping him at the level he's shown this last, you know, five straight start.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, the Edmonton Oilers got a few days off. They face Columbus, who is dead last in the NHL. And so when you're dead last in the NHL, there's probably lots of parts of your game that aren't playing well. But a lot of people thought their goaltending would be a lot better than it has been. How much of it is the goalies? How much is the system and the play in front of them?
So here's the weird thing about this one. The goalie numbers are not flattering, even adjusted for the system, adjusted for the quality of the shots they're seeing. They're well below expected. I do think, and we've seen it here in Vancouver, because it's not a great environment. They're not a good defensive team, and I think obviously they're missing some key parts of that back end and have been for, you know, most of the season. But I think it can become cumulative. And I used to talk about this in Edmonton, you know, when they were sort of chewing through goaltenders. Like, when you can't, when the environment is not predictable over time, it's hard to sort of stick to your game, to trust things in front of you, to play things straight up and square and not start to cheat. And I wonder how much that's crept into, you know, Elvis's game and Korpisalo's game. And then the one that jumps out is Daniel Tarasov has, like, his numbers early this season, and he's a pretty highly regarded prospect. I said during his World Junior year, I had a few people compare him. They said that he had Pekka Rinne's skill set, but he was more polished technically for the age. So a real high-end prospect. His numbers, his adjusted numbers have been off the charts, but his sample is so small that his expected save percentage is really high. And so, you know, that when you see those, that combination of things, you know, if you see discrepancies from one goalie to the next, you can say this guy's struggling. But when both guys struggle, you tend to think that, you know, there's something in the water here. Sometimes you see it in the analytics, you see it in the numbers. Sometimes it goes beyond it. In Vancouver, as bad as the goalies have performed this season, I think of Demko and I think of Martin both being well under expected. Delia, again, has actually been fine in a small sample. The environment becomes cumulative, and the longer you're in it, both guys struggle. That's, to me, that's something that doesn't always show up in the analytics. In Vancouver, it's time and space. There's way too much of it. In Columbus, I wonder if it must be the same thing, because the one guy who's had a better defensive performance in front of him, and that may just be as simple as Tarasov being a young player and the team really buckling down in front of him when he's in net, he's the only guy of the three that hasn't struggled. So, you know, I think it's cumulative. I think it is a product of the environment, and yet that's not letting the goalies off the hook. You can outperform a bad defensive environment. It just gets harder with time. It gets harder to maintain it. And again, we're seeing it here in Vancouver. Spencer Martin gets 10 straight starts in his number, and Slep Delia comes in, and in a smaller sample has been quite good. Matter of fact, his adjusted numbers are in the top 10 of the league still. But you wonder, can you maintain it over time when that structure and the predictability of the environment in front of you just doesn't have any consistency to it? And so, you know, if Tarasov were to get a bigger run, just as we see with Delia in Vancouver, you would expect his numbers to drop as well.
So with that all being said and knowing what's going on in front of the goalies, would Jonas Korpisalo make sense for any team who's maybe looking for either some depth at goaltending position or some help heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, it's depth maybe, Stratty. We all saw the playoff run that he had against Toronto, and he's, you know, time's sort of a flat circle since the pandemic, so I can't even remember how many years ago that was. I want to say three. He was just brilliant. And we just haven't seen any consistency to that. I know a lot of goalie coaches really like his game. I love the patience he shows holding edges, not committing too early. Like, there are a lot of elements about his game that should translate to better numbers. And there was a point when he came back this season off the hip surgeries where for a stretch he was really good. He was outperforming the environment significantly. But again, over time, the inconsistency is hard to ignore. So, you know, taking a flyer, depth, yeah, absolutely. You know, I know there were some teams that were interested this summer and were a little surprised that he went right back to Columbus, to be honest with you. But beyond that, in terms of a guy that, you know, hey, we can bring this guy in, he could fix a lot of things for us, I just think there's been too much fluctuation, too much inconsistency in the numbers. As attractive as the game looks to the eye test, you know, usually these things don't lie over time, and he's struggled to sort of stay above expected for a number of years now.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. joins us. Woodley, before I let you go, Linus Ullmark lost a shutout last night to the broken skate blade. And you were saying why that should never be an automatic whistle for the goalie. Why?
Well, I mean, listen, believe me, I wish it was last night. I have Linus Ullmark in my hockey pool, and it's 5 points for a shutout. So they couldn't get that blade back in. He had to come out of the game. I think Swayman played a couple of minutes, maybe even less, and that's enough that no goalie gets credit for a shutout. So, you know, and I've seen this argument before. We always remember Tuukka Rask when he lost his blade. He found it. He was waving around like a knife because he was so upset. You know, I thought he was going to stab somebody with it that time. He was so mad because he couldn't get a whistle. And once you lose the blade, like, you can't move. Like, it's really hard to play goal when you can't grab an edge to push around on your knees. But the reason, like, the goalie union is probably yelling at me right now, we should get a whistle. The reason they shouldn't is because it's their choice. Like, they know that that is a mechanism fail. So there are other holders that have removable blades. Perfect. And I would say the same thing with Robin Lehner. He was in a true one-piece that year where they gave him all the time on the bench to get it fixed. Like, you know, the problem with that boot is once the screw, it's not a quick release system, but once the screw that goes into the blade on the back of the heel, once you sort of lose the grip in there, it becomes a big problem. You know, that the thread gets a little worn out, it's hard to replace. And so if you're going to use equipment, in my opinion, where you know this is a possibility, then that's on you. There are other systems out there. There are other holders. Other companies have designed ones that don't fail as often. And, you know, it's tough to know because so many are in the Bauer. Maybe that's why we see it fail more. But there are other systems out there. And so if you're going to choose one, failure is a factor, then I think you have to live with the consequences. And in Linus's case, the consequences were he doesn't get his third shutout of the season. It's just too bad that I have to suffer with him.
Wow. That's challenging. Well, he's got 25 wins in 29 starts this season, which is mind-blowing for Linus Ullmark. To me, he's the runaway winner. And you're trying to make – he's like Connor McDavid for the heart. Both of those awards are the easiest to for me to pick right now. I don't even think it's close, to be honest. One last one for you. First practice with Rick Tocchet. Is it going to make a difference from goaltending to team defense in Vancouver, or are they far too gone?
Well, I mean, it's not going to make enough of a difference for this year, right? They're not going to make the playoffs. And I think that's why they brought him in now. We know what he's going to demand, and it's going to be tough to see it out of the gate. One practice, he talked today about not making a lot of systems changes, but basically identifying what he called non-negotiables. Puck management, being on the right side of the puck, things like that. Frankly, things, habits that have been terrible for this team for a couple of years now. You can argue, and I would as loudly as anyone, about how poorly they've handled the dismissal of Bruce Boudreau, but it's hard to argue that it wasn't warranted from a team performance perspective. They actually got worse defensively this year for all the focus on the need to improve it, and clearly the personnel is a problem, but the lack of accountability in terms of the decisions, the puck management, the lack of backtracking and back pressure, the lack of effort defensively, like these things were all, that was terrible. They went from being a bottom third team defensively to a bottom three. No team in the NHL is worse in terms of high danger chances against off the rush. Like, no team. And it's not even like they're trading chances. This isn't Doug Weight coaching the Islanders, and it's an all-star game out there. They were 25th or 26th in terms of what they generated off the rush. They just didn't work and work in the right ways defensively. So that's supposed to change under Tocchet. And it will in his, what he wants them to do over time. The question I have, and the question they need to get answered, is will systems and point of emphasis and coach's voice be enough? Or is this, quite frankly, just who they are? And I think in the case of a lot of these players, that may be the answer they come to. They have defensemen who I just don't think it's in their DNA to fill a lane and eat a puck. They're typically in the wrong lane. And when they do actually end up in the right lane, it's usually just to get in their goalie's eyes and not actually block a shot. I've never seen a team that takes away their goalie's eyes without actually taking away the shot more than this one. Like almost a third of their goals this season involve self-screen. So they need to figure out which forwards are actually willing to do what Tocchet asks. And JT Miller is going to be a big focus in that conversation because of some of his poor habits defensively, not back-checking, not just making line changes with any effort, sulking as he comes off, and some of the egregious turnovers. But I think there are also defensemen. And Oliver Ekman-Larsson, as much as he downplayed past history with Rick Tocchet in Arizona, and Rick Tocchet did too, you know, is he a defenseman? We've asked that question in this market. Is he a guy who's going to be willing to eat a puck for you? Bottom six guys on the penalty kill rather than using your stars. Like, there are a lot of questions about how much of this was systems and how much of this was personnel in terms of their inability to defend. And I think the answers will determine who's here in the long term. You know, and that may include even buyouts of some players that aren't willing to do that type of work. Because I don't care. They got a lot of talent offensively, but you just can't win when you're that bad defensively. Demko bailed them out last season. He's hurt in part because he had to bail them out so often with so many explosive saves, and they haven't been able to count on that level of goaltending this year. If Vezina quality goaltending is a prerequisite to just having a chance to win and maybe being a playoff team, something is wrong. And that's been the case for far too long here. Not just this year, it was the case last year, and even 2 years ago was the case. This is the third coach. At some point you have to ask if it's the players and not the coach. And I think we're there now.
Kev, great stuff, buddy. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.